And joining me right now at From Brothers Farms, I have Eugene Wisey. I have the nickname of Doc. Eugene, thank you so much for joining us today. And how long were you here and what did you do?
I myself only worked here about 6 years, and that was from when I got out of grade school the first summer, and when I went to high school every summer after that, and in days when I had off of school, Lauren Schultz was a guy, and he'd tell my dad to bring... My dad actually worked here roughly 50 or 60 years, so that's where I got to know from.
Your father here 50 to 60 years?
I would say, yeah. He retired when he was probably 60, I don't know, close to 70. And then when he retired, I remember Ed Frum coming through there one day, and he says, my dad's name was Arno, he called him Arnie. You would want to help Lester Burkett with the grounds, the cutting lawn and the flowers and stuff, and that. That was right up his alley. So then he went back to work part-time until he was probably almost 80 years old, I guess.
And you worked here what years? Do you remember the years?
From 44 to 49. I was 14 years old when I started here.
So you were born part-time, in 1930, so that makes you 32. 80?
32.
32, so...
Going in 87, yeah.
87 years old, and you were here when you said you started in grade school.
That's right.
What did you do at that young age?
I worked out in the yards, handling foxes, about the same thing that the guy before you...
So you started when you were 10, 11 years old?
No, I was 14 years old.
Okay, 14 years old, and then you worked in summers throughout your high school years. You were working... Larry Waller with the foxes and the mink, or just the foxes?
I worked with the foxes and the mink, yeah.
And did you do the same kind of bedding work that he was talking about, or in vaccination work, or what did you do with the mink and foxes?
I didn't do a lot of the bedding and stuff. I was with Lawrence with when we did the killing. We put ear mites in the ears. We had to grab all them foxes three times, you know, and you had to tattoo them. You're all tattooed.
So you had to deal not only with the vaccinations, but treating them for ear mites and tattooing.
Yeah, and lungworm for the. They had a lot of trouble with lungworms with foxes.
So these foxes, even though they were domesticated, had problems with ear mites and worms, and I judge those were the kinds of things that would spread very quickly among the animals.
Yeah, it was a killer for a lungworm was a killer for animals if they weren't treated.
So what kind of treatments were there? I mean, I know with cats you can have drops you put in their ears for ear mites. What was it like with foxes?
Well, about the same thing, but they had a guy by the name of Doc Young here. In fact, the office is right down here. And they did a lot of experimenting with different, you know, like you do with cattle nowadays and stuff. And they lost, if you ever read the book Bright with Silver, you can, it's an interesting book for me because I was here that long. They had a lot of losses with foxes, and in fact, they were almost wiped out a few times. But with modern things kept on going, you know, with modern medicines and stuff, they cured a lot of them things.
Now, you worked more with the mink or the foxes, or about the same with both?
When I first came here, they weren't that big with the mink yet. It's mostly the silver. So I think they had. Roughly between 40 and 50,000 foxes that time.
And the longworm could easily damage the herd substantially?
It did. They tried all different kinds of things. They built these high pens where they kept the foxes off the ground because I guess they actually got the longworm out of the virus in the soil, you know. And they put them up on high pens, 8-10 foxes in a pen to keep them off the ground before they pelted them in the fall year. Then they went up to the rangers, and I helped up with the rangers mornings. We'd go up there at 4 o'clock when I had off. I remember I was going to school. I wasn't doing it every morning. But my dad and some of the fox feeders would go up there. They needed extra help. We drove them, the fox in a corner. And on wet days, they killed them with a battery shocker. They ran a needle in, and they electrocuted them, actually, see. And I can still remember sometimes when it was raining or wet, you'd get that jolt right with the fox.
And you did this for 6 years, you said?
I didn't go up there very often, but four or five times where I went along with my dad up there, you know, on a day off or a weekend or something, and and then they loaded them in trucks and brought them down here so that they had foxes to pelt at 7 o'clock when the workers came in, see?
As you take a look at it right now, especially since your father worked here, did you have any other relatives who worked here?
Not directly. I had my wife's uncle worked here. Well, Ray Reamer, his name was. I do remember a lot of the old guys. Another guy that worked here many years was Henry Sheck. He ran where they mixed all the feed down there. And they called in, call it feed, they called it cereal, came in bags. And I can remember the time when they said, what are they going to feed these foxes someday when they run out of horses? But for the last number of years, they didn't see a horse anymore. It was all tripe and fish and cereals with built up to make a fox go fast and all that stuff. So
they altered the feed mix in order to speed up the growth process?
Not the growth process alone. The horses were getting scarce, so they had to get something to feed these foxes. They still fed some horse meat, but probably only half or a quarter of what they did the early years when it was pretty much all horse meat.
Your dad worked here, you said, 50, 60 years. Did you ever consider coming here full-time after you got out of school?
Well, I never really gave it any thought, but I got out of school a week or two, and I went to Wausau, and I got a job there, you know. I guess we all looked at the the pay end of a little more, you know, and I worked here a year, and after that I bought a gas route from my uncle, and it was on there 14 years, so, and I kept on going from there, so.
Well, Eugene Wisey, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
You're welcome.